The French are not against arrogance per se, but in the case of the United States, they regard the arrogance as completely unjustified. For the French, the grotesque symbol of Americanization is McDonald's, and many French citizens cheered in 1999 when a sheep farmer named José Bové trashed a McDonald's in France. The French worry that the spread of English threatens the future of the French language and, even more precious, French culture. Their anti-Americanism is based on a strong belief in French cultural superiority, combined with the fear that their great culture is being dissolved in the global marketplace. Most Americans find it hard to take the French critique seriously, coming as it does from men who carry handbags. French anti-Americanism is also a political device to legitimate the use of tariffs, thus protecting French products that cannot compete in the global marketplace. But at the same time, the French have a point when they object to the obliteration of local cultures and the homogenization of the planet in the name of globalization and Americanization. Probably we can also agree that the world would be a worse place without the French language and French cuisine, although whether we could do without French films and French intellectuals is open to dispute. A second and more troubling critique of America comes from what may be termed the Asian school. This view, which has advocates in Singapore and Malaysia and, most important, China, holds that America and the West have solved the economic problem, but they have not solved the cultural problem. As Lee Kuan Yew, the former Prime Minister of Singapore, has argued, America has generated a lot of material prosperity, but that has been accompanied by social and moral decline. Champions of the Asian school hold that they have figured out a way to combine material well-being with social order. In Singapore, for example, you are encouraged to engage in commerce, but there is no chewing gum in public, and if you paint graffiti on cars, as one American visitor did, you will be publicly caned. The result, advocates of the Asian school say, is that people can enjoy a high standard of living, but without the crime, illegitimacy, and vulgarity that are believed to debase life in the West. The Asian values paradigm is often viewed as an excuse for dictatorship. Admittedly, it serves the interest of Asian despots to portray democracy as a debauched system of government, so that they can justify keeping political power in their own hands. But it is hard to deny that there are powerful elements of truth in the way that Lee Kuan Yew and others portray America and the West. That there may be an alternative model better suited to the human desire for prosperity, safety, and public decency cannot be rejected out of hand. Lee Kuan Yew's slogan for this is modernization without westernization. Undoubtedly, the most comprehensive and ferocious attack on America comes from what may be termed the Islamic school. From what Americans hear of this group, with its slogans that we are the great Satan, land of the infidels, and so on, it does not seem that this is a very sophisticated critique of Western society. On television, we see protesters in Iraq, Iran, and Pakistan, and they seem like a bunch of jobless fanatics. But behind these demonstrators who chant and burn American flags in the street, there is a considered argument against America that should not be lightly dismissed. Americans should not assume that because they haven't heard much of this argument exist or has no intellectual merit. On the surface, it seems that the Islamic critique is mainly focused on American foreign policy. Certainly, many Muslims angrily object to the degree of U.S. political and financial support for Israel. "We consider America and Israel to be one country," one Palestinian man told CNN. "When the Israelis burn our homes and kill our children, we know that it is your weapons, your money, and your helicopters that are making this happen." Interestingly, the Palestinian problem was not initially a big concern for bin Laden. He seemed more exercised about the effect of American sanctions on the Iraqi people and about the presence of American troops in Saudi Arabia, the holy soil of Islam. Another issue for bin Laden, which resonates especially with Muslim intellectuals, is the proclaimed hypocrisy of America. In this view, the United States piously invokes principles of democracy and human rights, while supporting undemocratic regimes, such as those of Pakistan, Egypt, and Saudi Arabia, that do not hesitate to trample on human rights. Probably bin Laden strikes the biggest chord with the man in the Arab street when he blames the poverty and degradation of the Islamic world on Western and specifically American oppression. Clearly, the foreign policy element is important, but there is much more to the Islamic critique than that. Once we begin to peruse the newspapers and listen to the public discussion in the Muslim world, and once we read the thinkers who are shaping the mind of Islamic fundamentalism, we realize that here is an intelligent and even profound assault on the very basis of America and the West. Indeed, the Islamic critique at its best shows a deep understanding of America's fundamental principles, which is more than one can say about American understanding of Islamic principles. This critique deserves careful attention not only because of its intrinsic power, but also because it is the guiding force behind the jihad factories, the countless mosques and religious schools throughout the Muslim world that are teaching such violent hatred of America. Islamic critics recognize that other people around the world are trying selectively to import aspects of America and the West while rejecting other aspects that they do not like. Thus, the Chinese, the Indians, the Africans, and the Latin Americans all want some of what the West has to offer, especially technology and prosperity, but they want to keep out other things. Modernization without Westernization expresses a widespread desire to preserve the treasured elements of one's own culture and identity in the face of Westernization. But the Islamic thinkers argue that selective Westernization is an illusion. In their view, modernity is Western, and they regard as naive the notion that one can import what one likes from America while keeping out what one dislikes. The Islamic argument is that the West is based on principles that are radically different from those of traditional societies. In this view, America is a subversive idea that, if admitted into a society, will produce tremendous and uncontrollable social upheaval. It will eliminate the religious basis for society. It will undermine traditional hierarchies. It will displace cherished values. And it will produce a society unrecognizable from the one it destroyed. As bin Laden himself put it, Islam is facing the greatest threat to its survival since the days of the Prophet Muhammad. He's right, and the Islamic thinkers who fear the dissolution of their traditional societies are also correct. America is a subversive idea. Indeed, it represents a new way to be human, and in this book we will explore what this means and whether this subversive idea is worthy of our love and allegiance. So what is the Islamic objection to America? In conversations with Muslims from around the world, several common themes emerge. To you, we are a bunch of Arabs, camel jockeys, and sand niggers. The only thing that we have that you care about is oil. Americans have two things on their mind, money and sex. Your women are whores. In America, mothers prefer to work than to take care of their children. In our culture, the parents take care of the children, and later the children take care of the parents. In America, the children abandon their parents. America used to be a Christian country. Now atheism is the official religion of the West. Your TV shows are disgusting. You are corrupting the morals of our young people. We don't object to how you Americans live, but now you are spreading your way of life throughout the universe. American culture is a kind of syphilis or disease that is destroying the Islamic community. We won't let you do to us what you did to the American Indian people. What stands out about the Islamic critique is its refreshing clarity. The Islamic thinkers cannot be counted in the ranks of the politically correct. Painful though it is to admit, they aren't entirely wrong about America either. They say that many Americans see them as a bunch of uncivilized towelheads, and this is probably true. They charge that America is a society obsessed with material gain, and who will deny this? They condemn the West as an atheistic civilization, and while they may be wrong about the extent of religious belief and practice, they are right that in the West, religion has little sway over the public arena, and the West seems to have generated more unbelief than any other civilization in world history.